Shalom. This is Billy Brim saying good morning. Sitting here by my window looking out at the birds, and the sun has just risen. And, you know, I just noticed something in your voices today. I love to hear you when you sign on. And I just sensed when some of you would shout out where you're from, Connecticut, New York, Long Island, New York, Wayside, Texas, Ontario, Canada, Louisiana. I could hear it in your voices that you have a love in your heart for where the Lord has placed you as his ambassador. We're all citizens of heaven. But he's put us on this earth, and we have habitational authority where we live. And some of you are from another country besides the United States, but you have a love in your heart for your country and for its leaders. And we always are going to start with 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And so right now, as we're going into a new year, and here in the United States we're going into a new administration, there's a lot of hope in our hearts. There's a lot of promise on the horizon, and a lot of I've been reading prophecies that have come through various of the Lord's people, and I know that we stand at a crossroads where we can really have some of God's richest and best, but it will depend on if we pray. It will depend on if we keep the Lord's admonition of Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1, before us and before our prayers every morning, praying for our leaders. And so, Father, right now we lift them up. We lift up the governmental leaders of the United States of America, of Canada, I heard Canada on, and others who maybe I didn't hear your voice, but you're from another place. We had four nations besides U.S. last time. We just lift up our leaders, and we trust you today, Lord. Keep them safe and keep them counseled in Jesus' name. We ask you to think through their minds. We ask you to give them God's thoughts and God's ways. We plead the blood of Jesus upon them and upon the inauguration that's coming and upon everything that has to do with it here in the U.S. and all the peoples, Lord. In the name above all names, we pray for those coming in. We lift up those going out. We lift up men to God. They're only men. They're only people, men and women, but only humans. And they have to have you. And we, Father, are thankful for the place of our habitation, that you have given us authority, that I have authority right here in Missouri to say what goes on in the heavenlies. And all the folks that have called in today, as we're going to join our hearts in prayer, and we are focusing, Lord, on that nation that you said is the apple of your eye. The apple of your eye, that word in the Hebrew, it means like the pupil of your eye, the little pupil in your eye, and that if you come against Israel, you stick your finger in God's eye. And so things are going on in the earth. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to pray about it. Mike Huckabee, former governor and presidential candidate Mike Huckabee, has been in Israel. And I'm going to read you something that the Jerusalem Post wrote about his visit. Washington's behavior in orchestrating the anti-settlement resolution at the UN, as well as Secretary of State John Kerry's subsequent speech blasting the settlements, was a, quote, cowardly betrayal, end quote, of Israel, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee said Tuesday in Israel. In an interview with the Jerusalem Post, Huckabee said those actions were likely a combination of vindictiveness by the Obama administration and an effort to tie the hands of the incoming Trump administration. Quote, the way this administration is behaving in its last days of power is like a person who has to leave an apartment because the lease is up. And before they leave, they are going to break every window, pull the plumbing out of the walls, and punch holes in the ceiling, he said. Quote, last year, the UN took one resolution on Russia, one on Syria, one on North Korea, and one on Iran. Huckabee said. They had 20 regarding Israel. Anyone, and I don't care how much they hate Israel, anyone with even a tinge of objectivity cannot possibly believe that Israel deserved 20 spankings and Russia, Iran, North Korea, and Syria deserved only one each. I mean, no one in his or her right mind can say that the UN has become anything but a farce rather than a force. And with that resolution, which strongly condemned the settlements, with that resolution, the nations of the world that are a part of the UN and that voted on that said, in effect, Israel, biblical Israel, which is all of Israel according to, most of Israel according to the Bible, where the high point said, Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, Bethany, where Jesus visited his friends, Shiloh, Shechem, Hebron, all of these places are not, if the UN actually said that Israel has no history there, the Jews have no history there, well, that is saying that the Bible's not true, because the Bible, in all of its books, speaks of their history and their continued future in Israel. And so with that UN resolution, the nations of the world came out and said, we do not recognize that they have a right to any of that land. Now, in France, there's going to be a conference for peace to be held Paris, France, January 15th, 2017. And French officials have invited 70 nations to gather in France to throw the international community's weight behind a two-state solution in the Israeli-Palestinian-Arab conflict. This is reported by many, many news agencies. And Reuters reported that one of the leaders of France said, they're wanting to make a two-state solution, and we're not going to give up now. And so the United States, we found out that Kerry and Susan Rice and met with Arafat, a Palestinian leader, and forced the UN resolution into being. Then the United States withheld its veto power, and so it came to be. Now, we met last week, and we prayed, and we asked God to please forgive the United States of America. We pled our case that it was not our will. It was not what we wanted. It was, and our election showed it, that we did not back what they had done. We asked God to forgive us, and we believe that we attain some forgiveness, and we're going to keep that before the Lord. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit about what is happening. There is an amazing chapter, and I'm not going to talk too long on this right now. I will talk about it. I am going to talk about it when I do my noon prayer. And if you go online with our noon prayer, billybrim.org, there you will see it. But there's a chapter, a very interesting chapter in Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah was a prophet, one of the early prophets who prophesied before Israel went into the Babylonian captivity. And so in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, when they went, and when Nebuchadnezzar was in power, the Lord gave this prophecy, and he told Jeremiah, his prophet, to go into all the nations and deliver to them a message that they were going to know judgment, that he was going to have a wine cup of judgment for all the nations. Remember that the nations, 70 nations, came into being in Genesis chapter 10 when Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, got off the boat. Then Genesis 10 tells us 70 nations evolved from that. Those 70 nations are the basis of all the nations we know today. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, 70 bulls would be offered as Israel was the priest, an intercessor for those 70 nations. They would offer up these sacrifices to the Lord in an intercessory prayer way for those 70 nations. Now, when Israel goes into captivity for the very first time to Babylon, God says to his prophet, Jeremiah, these things. He said, and speaking of Israel, he says that it's going to go into captivity, which it did. And he said, many nations, I'm reading from Jeremiah 25:14, many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. The nations that come against Israel, when Israel is out, yes, God did scatter them, but he expected them to be treated well. He expected the nations to honor the nation that was to reveal God to them. But those nations that come against Israel in their scattered state, God says, I'm going to judge them. Now, he says a strange thing. I thought about this for years before I got my answer. He says something in verse 15, Jeremiah 25:15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, unto Jeremiah, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. God's word speaks of a cup of judgment. It's in Psalm 75:8, if you want to read about it. This cup, you drink it and you know judgment. So he told Jeremiah to go to the nations. Now, how did Jeremiah do it? He didn't have a jet plane. And I learned later on, I read after some rabbi, that when God said it, it was done. And so he sent Jeremiah first to Jerusalem and to Judea and Judah, and they knew first going into captivity. Then he sent him to Egypt and to the kings. He names all the nations of the earth then. And in verse 22, he says, the kings of the isles beyond the sea. So how could he ever, Jeremiah, get to the islands that were beyond the sea, beyond the great Mediterranean Ocean? He did it because when God said it, it was done. And then God says in verse 26, you take this cup of judgment to all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world who are upon the face of the earth. And the king of Babylon shall drink after them. So all the nations of the earth are going to know judgment. God says, this verse right here is enough to shake any king. I wouldn't want to be a king of a nation and not know God and not know that he expects nations to go according to his word, especially regarding Israel. And in Jeremiah 25:31, that's the same chapter, it says, a noise shall come up even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He has a controversy with the nations. That controversy is how they treat Israel. Verse 32, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. So from all the nations of the earth, all the coasts of the earth, because he pronounced a judgment that they could have read and should have read in his book of Jeremiah, in his book, which tells them how they are to treat Israel. And I have put together a small mini book. It's got all the scriptures in it where God says the nations are going to know judgment for how they treat Israel. That little mini book is Judgment of the Nations for How They Treat Israel. And you can have it free if you'll just call in our number. I'll tell you right now. You can call 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. And ask for the little mini book on the judgment of the nations, how Israel. I also have another mini book on the promises of God. You can get that one for $2. But right now I want to give you free today, Judgment of the Nations for How They Treat Israel, because you prayed with us on this call. Now, what we're seeing happening in Paris is what God said would happen in Zechariah. Remember, there were 70 base nations, foundational nations. I don't think it's an accident that France invited 70 nations to their conference of peace in January 15. Now this is Zechariah 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of Jehovah for Israel, saith Jehovah, who stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundation of the earth, and formed the spirit of man within him, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. This is that judgment cup. And actually here, the word for cup is like a basin. This judgment is going to be so full and so terrific that to compare it to a cup is not enough. The judgment is going to be the size of a basin. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a basin of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and that's nations. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And so that's what's happening over in France. There's a meeting of the nations, and they are gathering themselves against Jerusalem. They are gathering themselves. God, when God told the Jews to go back home, he told them specifically to go to what we call the West Bank. What we call the West Bank is the mountains of Israel. The Bible calls it the mountains of Israel in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. And it's all these, the road of the patriarchs. I've been on that road with people that, if you've been with me to Israel, on the road of the patriarchs, they traveled right up through all this area that the nations and the United Nations have decreed Israel had no history there. And so God's declaration is in chapter 3 of Joel, for behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, that's when he gathers them back home, he has done it now, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Jeho is Jehovah, Shaphat is will judge, Jehovah will judge. I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Other translation says, my land they have divided. And so that's what this is all about. But God prophesied it, and he is in on the gathering. I watched a news report of them raising their hands at that when they voted on that anti-Israel UN resolution 2334. And as they raised their hands one by one, I thought, you are admitting to the fact that you deserve judgment. The United States did not raise its hand, but it could have vetoed the whole thing, and it did not. It abstained. And so what we prayed about last week, we're going to pray again this week, and we're going to pray about these days that are lasting between now and the 20th. We are going to call confusion into the enemy's camp. God will take care of Israel, but we want our own nations taken care of. So let us begin. Heavenly Father, we are here. You know where we're from. I heard those names. You know them. You know this vote here today. And this vote says we do not agree. We do not agree with any actions taken against Israel. We do not agree with a UN resolution. We do not agree with a two-state solution. We do a so-called solution. We do not agree with the dividing of God's land. Heavenly Father, we lift this up to you. Here, Father, we are from, I believe, several nations. I've heard Canada online. And, Father, we're here from the United States of America. And we are telling to you, which you know, that we do not agree, and the majority of our people do not agree. Heavenly Father, we lift up Israel. We lift up Benjamin Netanyahu. But, Father, in the name above all names, right now, we are coming to you concerning this conference that's coming up. Oh, dear God, we ask for mercy where mercy can be attained. We ask for mercy, Lord. We ask that we know the enemy's behind us, and we call confusion into the enemy camp. You did that. You set them against one another. And we know that men and women from these nations have been moved upon by the enemy. They have been fed a steady diet on the news media against the Palestinians, against the Palestinians, because they can only know blessing if they bless Israel. And so when over and over they are encouraged not to bless Israel, then that's against them. Oh, Father God, in the name above all names, we would ask that all men would know God's will and God's purpose and lean God's way. And we do know that Satan is behind it. We do know that he is behind the Jews coming home, because you said they would, and they came. And, dear Father, that is to be a sign to the nations that God's word is true. And Father God, in the name above all names, you did it. You brought them home. It's now been 50 years. Isonde la mahalatania nukobrate. 50 years that they have had back Jerusalem. Oh, God, we know it will not part from their hands. But the nations here, we do intercede for them, Lord. We do intercede for those that could be changed and be saved and not be goat nations, but be sheep nations. We would, and we know, Father, your will. We know that your will is to save them. We know that in 25th chapter of Matthew, some are going to go in as goat status and be gone forever, and some are going to go into the millennial age, nations as nations. Heavenly Father, you know that we are citizens of heaven, and that in the millennium, the Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, right now, heavenly Jerusalem is our home. But Father, you have stationed us here. You have stationed us here as ambassadors, and we would have this nation that we are the ambassador to. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, for me it's America. Father God, these days that are left, these 17 days now that are left. Of course, we pray for our new administration. But, dear God, please, we pray that nothing can happen in these 17 days. That would bring judgment up on this nation. We call for confusion in the United States contingency that would go to Paris. We call for confusion. We call for isandula mahalantia, circumstances that would prevent them from doing something that would cause a judgment to come. Oh God, we cry out for it. We cry out for the blood of Jesus. We cry out for it. We cry out for it. We sondala mahalatinio evretania isata. And don't saprate ne comprate ne cotianda. Please do not let this country fall into a judgment over these hideous decisions and hideous things that have come forth. Please, dear Father, in the name above every name, we ask you to keep us in the name above all names, to keep us in your holy word, to keep us under your precious blood. Ivranto hisato no cobrete, ilandoro halatino no cobrata la cotavra. We lift up all of our leaders, dear Father, who are for Israel, who are istando macalata, making a stand in the name above all names, our senators and our representatives. Heavenly Father, those who are against Israel, we pray for a change in them. We ask you, Heavenly Father, please, to change them. And I want to say to all of you right now that I do ask for your prayers. I know as we go into this year, it can be absolutely something that the resurrection power of God, which we pray every day in Ephesians that God would make known to us, that it can avail in our lives. I'm thinking my life, my ministry, your life, your ministry. Some marvelous, wonderful crosswords we're at here. But we have to have prayer. The enemy's against us. And so I do covet your prayers for me. As many of you as can remember, or the Lord brings it to your attention, I would covet your prayers. I received a call from Christians United for Israel. And don't forget that wonderful organization under the leadership of the Hagees, Pastor John Hagee and Diana. And you can go online, CUFI, Christians United for Israel. If you're not a member of it yet, go online. Won't cost you anything. And become a member. And we have become a very powerful lobby group. You know, some people are always talking bad about lobbyists, but we're good lobbyists. We lobby for the will of the Lord. And I got a call from Lyndon, who is head over several states for CUFI, and asked me if I would be part of a contingency that would go to Washington, D.C. We're going to fly up on next Tuesday, 1 week from today. We will have our prayer call in the morning, and then I'll be flying after. Excuse me, 1 week from yesterday, and we're going to fly into Washington, D.C. on Tuesday. We're going to, on Wednesday, go up to the hill, but we will have our prayer call Wednesday morning. And when I make the prayer call with you next Wednesday, we're going to be praying from Washington, D.C., so be there with us for the prayer. And we're going to be lobbying our senators and representatives in behalf of Israel and against these horrendous things that have come from the United Nations and then will come even through France. And so we're CUFI prays. Of course, we believe in prayer. They have Daughters for Zion. Sister Lynn Hammond leads that, and you can join that. And we pray for Israel. I work with Lynn on that as well, and Cheryl Morrison from Colorado. And we stand with Israel, we pray for Israel, but we also put our feet to it. And so we're going to be putting our feet to it next Wednesday. You join with us in prayer, 8 o'clock in the morning, and then you'll be there with us. Paul said he was away from a certain group of people, but he said, I'm with you there in the Spirit. So next Wednesday, I want you to be with us there in the Spirit and praying even for us and covering us. Now, don't forget that we have those books for you. One of them is God's Promises of the Land to Israel. That's $2. We have a book which explains wonderfully what the West Bank is in the Bible. That's a book by Norma Ochbold, and it is The Mountains of Israel. That's $10. But I want to give you free, absolutely free, and I wish you would order these and pass them out. If you have anybody in government, get these little books to them. This little book on the judgment of Israel. The nations are going to know judgment for how they treat Israel. So just ask for the book on the judgment of Israel when you phone 1-800-972-3447. 1-800-972-3447. And you can go online to billybrim.org. We have information there as to how you can do it. And we have information on our Canadian office. We have an office in Canada for you who have called in from there. Or you can write us at Billy Brim Ministries, Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, and you can order any of the books. I want to thank you once again. I just am so thrilled to hear your voices. I tune in quite a few minutes early so I can hear you. And then I leave it on 1 minute after 8 so that you can hear each other. You can hear where the people are, where our brothers and our sisters are, where they live with habitational authority, and are praying from there. It works. God hears our prayers. They're coming up to Him, and He's hearing them, and He's granting us deliverance. He's granting us deliverance from foolish kings. And He is bringing into being those things that we ask Him. Because the head of the church has put these things into the heart of the body of the church. That's us. We're His body. And with our mouths as we speak them out, then He has something He can clothe. He can make faith confessions realities. Faith confessions bring possession. So when we confess, we possess those things we've prayed today. Oh, how I do love Him, and oh, how I do love you, and thank you so much. Remember, next Wednesday in Washington, D.C. Shalom, shalom.